Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with evangelist Adalys Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Facebook and Instagram or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's evangelist Adalys.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? It is that time again. Podcast time. And I am your host, Adalys. With me today is nobody, because my sister backed out and she has other things better to do, I guess. So I'm trying not to hold any resentment or bitterness towards her. So we're just going to move on from this. Anywho, today's podcast is entitled Drop the Dead Weight. Why is this important? This is important because you got to understand, in order to go where you're going, sometimes you got to drop the dead weight. And so I wanted to say, kind of make this specifically for people, but sometimes it doesn't just mean people. Sometimes it is. Sometimes there's going to be friends that aren't going to go where you're going. Even maybe family members. Dare I say it? Yeah. You gotta recognize that some people are just not meant to go with you into this new season of your life, or into this next level of life. So just understand that and don't freak out about it, because it's going to happen. Not everybody in your life. Some people are sent to you for a season. Some people are there with you for your entire life. Understand that there are seasons that change. There are people in your lives right now that it's like a door, you know? It's just, I would say a revolving door, but sometimes they just don't ever come back, from my personal experience. Let me take a sip of my delicious iced coffee. So anyway, our text for today, I've got a couple of it. I got a couple of them. Let me see where. Oh, here it is. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Thanks, Rob. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. You gave me a dead link. What happened? What happened? Ooh, this baby's kicking right now. Oh, yeah. Put it on the screen. That'd be great. Can I see the Facebook things? I know you don't like that, but can I? Oh my gosh, this baby is literally kicking me. Easy, Junior. Doesn't feel that great. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I'm just going to read it while Rom gets his act together. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Let me just take a moment and let that just permeate for a minute. Let me just chew on that. Okay. And it says, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. So here's that. So there's three, I would say, three things that could be dead weight, that could be baggage. And one of that here in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 is sin. So sin can actually hold you back. It's very evident. Sin will always hold you back. That's kind of like a no-brainer there, right? You obviously can't step forward into your destiny or into the call that God has placed on your life without first letting go of the sin that so easily besets you. It so easily entangles you. And if you don't have a grip on that, you ain't really gonna push forward in any area of your life, including faith, including your Christianity, including your walk with the Lord. So that was kind of like the foundation for this scripture. Obviously, there are certain things in your life that are keeping you back. They're holding you back. Sin will do that 100 times over. So get rid of the sin. And in Jonathan's word, before sin gets rid of you. Get rid of sin before sin gets rid of you. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. That's it. Well, okay, John Francis, that's your take. We ain't going there, John. I ain't looking over there. I'm not looking at the comments, Rom. Yes, I am. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Let me read that again. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. So here's a little tip. Here's a little bit of insight that we're just getting ahead of ourselves, but why not? It's my podcast and I feel like getting ahead of myself. Okay. The sin will hold you back. So what do you do to focus up out of that mess, out of the bondage, out of the baggage, out of the weight that just is causing you to quit moving forward? What do you got to do? It says it right here. This is your remedy. You have to keep your eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects your faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor besides God's throne. Come on now, somebody. Huh? That's for somebody out there. You gotta make sure that your eyes are fixed and focused on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. This is the remedy. But I want to expound a little bit on this, because you have to understand there are people sent your way to keep you back, to hold you back from what it is that you're called to do, from living a life that's godly and pleasing to the Lord. There's people sent. You know, I think one of the greatest things that I ever realized in my life was that the fact that God uses people to bless you, but the devil also uses people to bless you, or to destroy you. So actually, one great message that my husband preached like years and years ago is identifying the fool sent to destroy you. That's a word right there. And that message is identifying the fact that there are people in your life right now holding you back. And it's as simple as that. And so once you realize that, then you can cut them off as is supposed to happen. You got to cut them off. And you do it in love, guys. It doesn't have to be something that's like this emotional, drawn out, dramatic encounter. They'll just get the hint. The further you progress and the further you keep your eyes on Jesus, the more these dead weights, they start dropping off of you. And it's something that like I've seen in my own life, especially growing up. I got saved when I was 15 years old. And I remember the friends that were there when I first got saved, they just went missing. It wasn't something that there was no fallout. There was no encounter. I didn't have to defend myself. They just kind of like disappeared. It was like I stayed busy in the things of the Lord. I stayed busy with my youth group and everything else. And every one of them just kind of like left. I remember two of them. One of them moved away. Another one was kicked out of school. Another one got pregnant. So all of these were like my close friends. And all of a sudden, I remember getting saved at 15, at 16 years old, inviting people to my sweet 16 and thinking to myself, where are these people? What happened to them? And it's because the more serious you focus and fix your eyes on Jesus, the easier it is for people to kind of like repel that. They don't like what you like anymore. All of a sudden you're like, you can't smoke with us? Sorry, you're kind of boring. And I'm like, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with boring. Y'all do your thing. Have fun. And we parted ways. And so that's just what happens. And so you have to understand, it doesn't have to be this, I'm sorry, but I serve the Lord Jesus Christ and you are a sinner and we are unequally yoked and this is not going to work out between you and I. So we have to not be friends anymore. Also, can you give me everything that is at your house? You know, my records and our BFF bracelet. I paid a lot of money for that. It doesn't have to be like that. Just let it go. Just focus on the Lord. Focus on Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. And you good. You are so good. And it actually becomes something that's very easy. And in fact, what you'll notice, especially for all of the new believers, what you will, the more you emphasize on this scripture, Hebrews 12:2, we do this by keeping our eyes, it says, on Jesus. Once you fix your eyes on the Lord, once you begin to meditate on his word, and you begin for the word, where you allow the word to permeate and to instruct you in the way you should go and change you, all of a sudden, like, even listening to people's conversations, it, like, irritates you. You're like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing with my life? What are these people doing here? Like, why are they, you know, all of a sudden, the usual banter between all the friends annoys you. Like, why are they talking like poverty? You know, everybody's broke. Everybody's doesn't have enough. There's always a problem. It begins to irritate you. Irritate you. And so you just have to, let it go. Let it go and begin to separate yourself from it. And I'll tell you what, that's when you can soar. Spread your wings and fly, everybody, because that's exactly what's going to happen. Ah, that's good coffee. Listen, I am not a fan of this company. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but some of you viewers on Facebook see it. But this has kept my coffee so deliciously cold. They're amazing. But the only thing I don't like hydro flasks is the mouthpiece. Can I see it? Do you have it with you? Please let me see, because if it's a good enough model, I will order it. The only thing with hydro flasks to me is that they're the best in Arizona when you're like tracking through the desert. It's like, that's what it's made for sporty conditions. Look at me. Do I look sporty to you? No. No, thank you. I do appreciate that, Nick. Absolutely. Brownie points. Get that man a bonus. Huh? So anyway, back to this. But look, I still got ice in there from this morning. Huh? Amazing technology. So, anywho, I also want to give you two more stories in response. Is that the mouthpiece on the top there? But that's just like a water bottle. Is this something that you want for your coffee? I don't want to drink like that from my coffee. I would like a cold beverage, but I'm saying like coffee. There's just something about maybe
like a thinner mouth.
Yes, because like if exactly or cup status.
That's really good, like at the gym though.
This is amazing. I absolutely love this. This is very fantastic. This is to me makes more sense than its original thing. I love it. It is huge. I wish they would make a smaller one and something for coffee. I don't like, see, this is what people don't get. The flavor, and you will know this because you have a new coffee thing with your husband, a new Instagram. What's it called? Mike and Sarah Coffee something? Mickey and Sarah. So she's trying out like a whole bunch of coffees. Thank be to God. I got to try the table coffee. So anyway, if there's something positioned blocking your coffee, even if there's like a plastic piece, it doesn't taste the same to me. Is that not? No, I'm telling you, the container has everything to do with the taste of the coffee.
I know it's that way with water. Like, you can let water sit in one of these for like 8 years and it's still like crispy.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I just wish that they would make something for coffee that would not get in my way. And if I also with like, let's say like a Starbucks thing container, I like foam. I like to participate of the foam in the coffee. When there's a mouth thing, like a thing, it stops the foam. So it just melts in there. I don't appreciate that. Anyway, that would be great. If you know of any good remedies for keeping your coffee cold and hot without there being like a mouthpiece, I know that sounds kind of stupid. But I don't want anything restricting the flow of coffee. Like, I want the open lid like a mug. You know what I mean? You know? Well, where is it? They're against the NRA, so I'm not going to be a fan of this. Yeah, not a fan of that. So, yeah. Yeah, they spoke out against the NRA, and it ticks me off. Not here to speak about that. We're here to talk about the dead weight in your life. So we understand that there's sin that will so easily beset you and pull you back from what it is that, thank you for agreeing with me, Nicole, that will keep you back from what it is that you're called to do. And then here we go. Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. Can I tell you, Bartimaeus is one of the most difficult names to spell. Do you know how long it took me to look up this daggone scripture because I couldn't spell Bartimaeus? Justin Stewart? Huh? I've heard of that. I've heard of it. He said ember. Get yourself an ember. But it's also $175 for a cup. No thanks. I'll keep it in my mug. But maybe. Also, does anybody know if the ember coffee mug will still keep the foam intact? Anybody? I'm all about my foam. Foam. I don't want the foam to dissipate. Has some great coffee containers. I'll have to look that up, Kenny. Black, what? Does that say rifle? Does that say rifle? I can't tell. Oh, a black rifle coffee? I mean, I love the name already. Yeah, sign me up. You would like their company. Really? Do they sell online? Mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. Is it like containers and coffee? Okay, send me the link. Yeah, something like that. Something like that, Christy, and I ain't about that life. Okay, so Bartimaeus, one of the most difficult names to spell ever. And so it says in verse 46, we're just going to fill you up with the word right now. Mark 10:46 says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. Like that. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Why is this so significant that he threw off his jacket? Well, if you studied the ancient days of old, huh? You would understand that anybody that would be begging on the street had to have a permit to do so. What do I mean by that? You needed in order to sit at the temple gate or wherever you were positioned to beg, you had to have something approved by the government to let people know that you weren't just a hoax, that you weren't just like, you know, saying you're blind and really you're not. So you needed a special documents, which was the cloak that they gave you. And that cloak symbolized if in fact you were blind, if in fact you were lame. So they would always throw on that cloak and beg so that you knew I'm not messing around. I'm not playing around. I'm not lying. This is real. And I've got proof right here on my cloak. And so when Jesus said, bring that man over to me, what did he do? He threw off his cloak. He threw off that cloak, didn't he? And he said, sorry, now I got the burpees. Dang it. You know what? Let me read Dake's Annotated Bible here. casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. This is verse 40. Nope, psych, 50. And this is what Dakes has to say. A mark of great anxiety and joy to get to Jesus as quickly as possible. When men get this earnest in seeking God, they will find him without exception. Come on. The earnestness of the blind man surmounted all difficulties. How many today permit the smallest things to hinder them in prayer and in obeying God? Exclamation mark. Blessed is the man that will not tolerate one thing hindering him from getting to God and getting answers to prayers that are in harmony with the promises and gospel provision. The more the man cried out, the more his faith grew, and the more he was hindered, the more he was helped in taking hold of what he was desiring. The more the man cried out, the more his faith grew, and the more he was hindered, the more he was helped in taking hold of what he was desiring. That is so good. So there is something that you have to do. There is an earnest seeking of God without exception, where you are, it doesn't matter how difficult it is, what you're facing. If you want it, you can get it, but you got to seek for it with all your heart. Well, that was his rendition of it. So anyway, Bartimaeus threw aside his cloak, jumped up and came to Jesus. And then verse 51 says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see and he followed Jesus down the road. Hello. Threw it off. So whatever it is, and this is where I was thinking about it. I was meditating on it, and it's not just people. It's not just sin, and we haven't even gotten to people yet. So we've seen that sin can hold you back. Sin can be a dead weight. It will always be a dead weight. Okay, always. And then we understand is your preconceived. This is where I would kind of like throw it off to Mags to kind of like fill in what I'm trying to say, because I don't really know what I'm trying to say right now. You have to let go of what you think you're capable of, your preconceived ideas, yes, of who you are and what you're allotted to. Like what I'm saying is most people, they won't go anywhere in life because they think that they're not smart enough, or they think this disease is something that they're going to live with for the rest of their life. It's like that one lady that I blocked from my Facebook page that had a picture of her. It was a big giant picture of her thing, and then it had like anxiety written on the front of it, but it was like faded out so you could see her, and then the word anxiety, and then the caption said, "If you can't see anxiety, you can't see me." Like that's some like wonderful thing. And so I don't block her because I'm like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. If you can't see anxiety, you can't see me. What? So people identify themselves with this problem. They identify themselves with a sickness, a disease, a disability, and it's actually causing them from moving forward. And it's until you drop that, that thing, that perception that people have of you because of your limitations or whatever, you got to drop it in order to move forward. You always, always, always have to get the God kind of faith to look at your situation and say, I'm better than this. This is not who I am. This does not define me. I might be blind, but I'm throwing that cloak off of me today. And we're moving forward. I'm getting mine today. And that's where you have to be in order for you to get what God wants for you. You just gotta let go of everything that you've been indoctrinated to believe ever since you were a kid. You're worthless. You ain't gonna amount to nothing. You're an Ortiz. You got a drinking problem. You'll always have a drinking problem. We don't own homes. We don't own businesses. What are you talking about? That's not our family. We work for the man. You'd think I'd be crazy like saying these things, like people don't really say it, and they do. They totally say it. Still icy cold. Dang. It's just so satisfying. So, you gotta drop it off. You gotta drop, just leave it. See you later. and I ain't going to pick you back up. I'm positioning myself to receive something from the Lord, and this cannot come with me. This preconceived notion of who I think I am, that I'm not good enough. Listen, I can stay here and I can hold up my book again and tell you that I felt like I was not qualified to do it. And still, if you look at the books, I'm not qualified to do it. I'm not, you know, a graduate of any college. I'm not like a straight A 4.0 high school graduate. That was not me. So I can still say that I'm not qualified to do this. But I've since realized that all God needs to move on your behalf is for you to be willing, for you to just say, I'll do it. Yeah. I'll absolutely do it. I will do whatever it takes. I am willing. I will be obedient to walk in that way and watch him come through for you. And that's where God wants you to be. That's exactly where God wants you to be, because he can use people like that. If you are willing and you think you're not good enough, that's the person that God can use, because then he knows. They're not going to think it's their ability. Some people walk this earth thinking that they're God's gift to the human race, and they never do anything. They're so talented. They can sing, they could dance, they could play an instrument. They can play 17 instruments, and they never do anything with it. Why? Because they think there's something. But it's until you find out, you know what? I am willing. I'll be willing. I'll be obedient. I'm going to position myself to receive from you, Lord. And you just work however you see fit in my life. And I will do whatever you tell me to do. I will say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. And he can use a person like that, who's not arrogant and who thinks he's got, like, you know, everything going for him. I'm not saying like, oh, just walk with your insecurities and, you know, God will. No, what I am saying is that once you realize, you know, in and of myself, I can do nothing. Without God, I can do nothing. Like disciples would say, without God in my life, we're not able to do anything. And once you get to that position, you're golden. And so we see sin will easily beset you. Sin will be a dead weight for you. And then what we just talked about now, your preconceived thoughts about yourself, or your I can't really define this stupid thing that I'm trying to say. Your identity, how you see yourself apart from the Word of God. We'll just go with that. It will be a dead weight for you to move forward. A what? Cheers. The old man perspective. You got to drop the old man perspective from your life. That is not who you are. I don't care what has happened in the past. That is not, you're not an addict. You are not some sexually immoral person. That is not you anymore. The you that now lives is Christ Jesus in the flesh. The old you was dead and buried. He's gone. So quit putting those things, that those ideas still as though they're going to somehow, walk you through in life. They're not. They can't. You're not going to be walking with that, you know, mentality of you're not good enough and I'm not worthy. I am not worthy. I'm just but a worm. That religious bull crap. Don't do it. Don't fall into the trap, because you are worthy. And in fact, God made you worthy. He made you somebody that's worthy to receive his righteousness and his holiness and to walk in that authority. If you don't think that's something for you, then you don't know the message of Jesus Christ. Because he said, I died, and I didn't die because you were perfect. I died because you were in sin. And I could see past that, and I could see, hey, this person's redeemable. So I'm going to go and die, shed my blood for you, because I see the potential that you have. And so it makes you worthy. So all of a sudden, you got to have that little bit of swag and say, wait a minute, I'm not worth this. I don't need to be in this abusive relationship no more. I don't need to be tied to this perspective of who I am anymore. That's not me anymore. That's not me. I used to do things that way. I used to be angry. I used to punch people in the face when I got angry, but that's not me anymore. So I'm going to drop that dead weight. Move forward. Huh? Burpees. Number three. Abraham. I'm not going to read it to you because you've heard this a zillion million times. But when God spoke to Abraham and he said, crucify your son, your only son, he didn't hesitate. He was up the next morning and he was like, Isaac, sweetie. Huh? Sacrifice. What did I say? Sorry. Not crucify. Sacrifice. We were talking about crucifixion, but Isaac was not crucified. Sacrifice was the word. So, he gets Isaac up in the morning and he's like, hey, let's go up to the mountaintop. And Isaac's like, sure, Dad, you know. And mind you, Isaac was probably a teenager at this point. 30? Huh, that's interesting. I heard teenager and now Ram is telling me 30 years old. So good for Isaac. He was also a man of God. Because if you think I would have sat through that, well, my daddy wrote me up. And put me on an altar. And you think I'd just be like that? And then, you know, he positions his knife to see it go through his chest. And he's just like, what's happening? Good man. Isaac was a good man. So anyway, God tells him, you got to go up to the mountain, sacrifice your son, your only son. So Abraham's like, absolutely. Yeah, I'll do that. No problem. Knowing full well, okay, and this is what the scripture says. Knowing, he told, he had the donkeys and his servants walk with him to the edge of the mountain. And when they asked him, he's like, let us go with you, Lord. He said, no, you guys stay back here. We'll come back and worship together later. So he knew what was about to transpire. He's like, I'm going to sacrifice my son, but then somehow he's going to be raised from the dead or something, because God's not going to leave me without a son. He guaranteed me a promise and I'm going to see it fulfilled. So there was no bit of worry or fear in Abraham's sight, because he knew, I know the promise God has for me. He gave me the son. And if he's telling me to sacrifice him, it's because he's going to bring him back to life. Notice in the scripture, he said, we'll be back. He and I will be back. We'll come back for you, but you got to stay here. And so he left the donkeys and the servants back. And then he climbed the mountain up. He climbed up the mountain to encounter God in one of the most incredible ways. I mean, this is the father of our faith. He gave life to the redemption of man by this one man, Abraham. I mean, he turned it all around. God saw to it that he could use this man to redeem the world. That's what's so important. Yes, he's a father of our faith, but he positioned himself to receive from God, that God said through him, that's exactly who the Messiah is going to come from. That's huge. If you didn't think about it that way, now you have. Okay. So, he left the donkeys. He left the asses behind. Somebody. He left the asses behind, didn't he? He left the people that couldn't really take it, because he knew, if I bring those servants, they're going to, like, you know, they're going to think that I'm going senile, and they're going to be like, yeah, shut up. And, you know, they'll freak out and pull the knife away. They don't have what it takes. They don't know what I know. So they can't come with me because they'll talk me out of it. So they just got to stay back. So we understand sin, dead weight every single time. And then your old man mentality, you got to crucify that thing. You got to put that to death. You got to put that, just drop it off right now. And then people cannot come with you. Some of the people that you think are going to be lifers, they're not. They're going to be like, what are you doing? You think you're better than us? You think you're better? Huh? And inside you can be like, yeah, I am. Because I got Jesus Christ on the inside of me, okay? And so what you ought to do is just leave them behind. Leave the donkeys behind. Siri, no, I didn't call on you. So you got to recognize that. Recognize that. Don't feel bad about it. Don't feel sad about it. It's just they're not supposed to go with you. Sorry. It might sting a little bit. I mean, this is never like an awesome feeling to see the people that were in your life for however many years just kind of like drop off. That's not like a great thing. However, it is a good sign that you're stepping it up, because if the people that you've hung around with, they continue to hang around with each other and you've kind of like moved away and separated yourself from them, man, I got there was lots of words spoken when I had to leave. There was lots of words spoken and exchanged about me just bouncing up out of there, never looking back. She thinks she's something else. And it was never like that. I was just simply trying to pursue the call of God on my life. And I'm sorry if you had to take an offense to that and you don't really understand it. I can't help you. I'm going to just sip my coffee and do what God's told me to do. So that's what you got to do. You got to get those three things in line, drop them off. If you want to see another level, if you want to go to another level, everybody was talking about it in January, new levels. I want God's breakthrough this year. And then you don't realize there's a certain elements that have to happen in your life in order for you to move forward, because you got dead weight on you. And it's not only dragging you down, you are unable to move. So move forward in Jesus' name. Drop the dead weight. See you later. And you know what? For every one of those people that were in your life that you valued and you love spending time with, God sends people that will blow your mind. When you actively choose to go in the path that God has for you, He will send you people that are like family. I mean, unbelievable. And that's what that scripture says. In Matthew, or is it Mark? About how when you give up mothers, fathers, houses, or sisters, brothers, houses, property, that you will receive now and in this life, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, and property, houses, whatever, possessions you got. You will never, whatever you give up, God isn't just going to be like, that's right. Good job. You did it. And leave you high and dry. No, He always fills that void with something so much better, with people that are of like minds and of like faith with you. And it's like the best in the whole wide world. It really is. So Matthew 19. Thank you, Ron. He's got my back. He's starting to be like that guy who's works the Bible scriptures on Oyedepo services. Have you seen that guy? If you haven't, it's amazing. Pastor Oyedepo, there it is. Pastor, and everyone who's given, see, he's already starting. This man, whoever does the Winner's Chapel Sunday mornings, they're like on the same wavelength with the man of God. He'll just start saying, and everyone who has, and all of a sudden the scripture's up, and you're like, how did he even know he was going there? It's amazing. And Ram is going there. He's trying. Okay. So just so you know, yeah, there's just some people that aren't going to see eye to eye with you. And some of them, they might even be your family. But that's okay. And it's not that you treat them badly and you shun them. We ain't about that life. But you do realize I don't cast my pearls before swine. No offense. Don't say that to them. Don't say that to them. But you aren't going to talk about spiritual things with people who are dead to spiritual things. It's just silly, right? And hey, take that in your unequally yoked relationship, ladies. I'm talking to ladies mostly because this is what happens. But dudes, you're not exempt either. You can't talk about the Holy Ghost with your significant other. Bye. See you later. Dead weight. What are you holding out for? Shh. Crazy. You want to be able to talk to your loved one about everything, including your private time with the Lord, right? I mean, that's not like something that's out of reach, right? And so if you're holding it out because she's going to think you're weird and Get rid of them. Relationships. Get rid of them. You don't want them. You don't want them in your life. Okay? So that is a word. That is the word for today. Thank you for tuning in. For all of you that are watching on Facebook, God bless you. We're going to be back tomorrow morning at whatever time. 11:30. And we will be back for... Huh? Oh, 10 a.m. for prayer with Brother Kofi, who is now in Ghana. Is he in Ghana yet? Yeah. He's in Ghana. Huh? So pray for the man of God, Samuel Sarpong, as he goes to one of the most Muslim-filled sections of Ghana. He needs your prayers and also donations. World Evangelistic Ministries. Okay, look it up. World Evangelistic Ministries. Okay, so your best seed. And if you have not yet, I mean, I've been talking about this now for forever. Ordered the Mighty series. What the heck are you waiting for, y'all? Listen, Easter's gonna creep up on you. Don't be that person. Be that person that's a standout on Easter. Be that crazy aunt that just is like, you know, you just go all out during Easter. I like Easter. I go all out. Because this is the day Jesus was resurrected. Come on, that's significant. I don't know why Easter isn't greater than Christmas. I'm thankful for the birth of Jesus, but I'm more thankful that he resurrected. Come on, somebody. So make it special for your loved ones, the children in your life. Amen? Because we are the world. They are the children. They are the children. They are the world to make a better place to last. We are. Did you mute the mic? We are. I'm sorry. I don't really know the lyrics to that song anyway, so it wouldn't really be copyright infringement. What is it? Let's start giving or let's start living? See, you didn't know that. So how did you know the lyrics to that song? Did you sing it in high school or something in a musical chorus? Nah, but I wasn't, chorus. Did you sing that song in chorus? Because that's one of the songs that we sang. I mean, I don't forget about it. Huh? We were required to be in choir for middle school. Mr. Fazio. Band? Not all. Just kidding. For anybody that's in band, I respect you. Whatever. So anywho, love you guys. Thank you for watching. That's it. Tune in tomorrow. We'll see you later.
Hey, this is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast, or if you're listening to my wife's. Thank you on her behalf. If you want to be more than just a casual listener and stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now. And be a part of the 1,000 monthly partners that we're believing for. I have a special gift that I'll send to you today, and I'll say thank you in advance. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.